You're listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com.
This morning, we're doing things a little bit different, and we're right here in the middle of the room at 5:15, but we're going to have a conversation with some incredible people around this idea that we've been in. And actually, the last week or so, after these just giant talks from our Pastor Louis and from Tim Tebow, apparently a few people wanted to show up last week to hear him speak, but just feel like, man, God is stirring something so special. And in a conversation with Louis last week, it's like, let's not rush it too quick, because we're actually sitting on another really powerful series that we're really excited about. It's coming next week, and our pastor is going to be here starting it off, but it's called The God You Can Know. And I want to put that on your radar, but it's going to be phenomenal. We just didn't want to rush through this series called Passion, Purpose, Asterisk, and Designer Jeans, but just really wanted God to seal up all that he stirred in our hearts. And so we thought it'd be great to have a practical conversation with some people from different spheres that most all of us can relate to. And no offense to Pastor Louis, but it might be good to hear from somebody who's not a preacher about this whole idea. You shouldn't have said amen right there, because but I think this would be really, really great. I'll tell you who's in the conversation, and then we get to hear from them. Right here on my right, Mary Caroline Russell is in the house. And Mary Caroline is one of the most creative photographers, people on the planet. You'll hear more about that later. Donnell Woodson, an urban community developer, a proud UVA alum.
Wahoo, wah.
We don't know what that means, but go Cavaliers, I think. David Chanley, we just call him the chief meteorologist for Fox 5. All right, David. Just how's the forecast looking for the rest of the week? We need to know that right now.
Well, we got the wedge set up today there.
We don't know what that means. Okay.
East wind, clouds, drizzle, low 40s. That's what we're dealing with. Chance of showers Monday into Tuesday, but winter is taking a back seat right now. Anything else you want to know?
That's why we had you up here. You're good. You can step off the stage. Over here, Bobby Reagan, CEO and founder of Reagan Consulting. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Your wife's clapping really loud for you right over here. One person. And then Maya Moore in the house, people. Come on. Maya, you've been the poster child for this series, but it's really great to have you here.
I paid Louis to say all that stuff.
You did. You would send him notes.
Not really.
Yeah. This is awesome. So many different spheres. And here's the thing. This series, Passion and Purpose, are rooted in Colossians 1:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's the conversation we're going to have with people from different spheres. Is that a good idea? Is that a good series? Or is it actually possible? And I think everybody wants to hear from people that are actually living that out. And there's so many people in our church that could be up here right now, but you all are living that out. And so I just want to talk practically about how that's possible, starting with the big idea, right? That we have a purpose that needs to be bigger than our passions and our platform. And that is not what the world is preaching, right? And so is it possible? Maya, I want to start with you, because we've heard your resume from Louis, or from you through Louis, apparently, but you've achieved so much success. You've made it to the top. I mean, I always wanted to dream of being a professional basketball player, and it ended my junior year of high school, but you actually made it. You
know? Rest in peace.
But we will play one-on-one at North Atlanta later today if anybody wants to come out and watch.
No, you don't want any of that.
I can dunk. I mean, no, anyway. But you have achieved so much, but your purpose is greater than that. And why have you come to see that it's so much better than just championships?
Wow. You know, it's crazy to think about the success that I've been a part of as a little girl playing the game. I had no idea the doors that would be open to me if I just worked and played and competed with passion. And one of my favorite memories from championships is my first national championship when I was at Connecticut. Go Huskies. And
Wahoo Wah.
I'm in.
Wahoo Wah.
Let's stay focused, okay, please, Brad. And But we won our first national championship, and I was in my room after, and I was just sitting there like, wow, I am a child of God, and that is more important than this ring. Like, I can really enjoy winning championships and competing and winning and losing because I know first I'm a child of God, and that is the most important thing about me. And so, you know, it's one thing to chase something, to strive for excellence, but that can't be who you are, because at the end it's going to be empty if you don't know whose you are.
That's right.
So I'm just so grateful that I got to experience that success already knowing who I am. So just grateful.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So incredible. Bobby, one of the things about you, I mean, just being a good friend of yours, is who you are and then why you do what you do. And you've been very, very successful. Your company is the leading consulting firm for insurance agencies around the country and the world. But talk about that idea of finding your passion, because did you like dream growing up of being a professional insurance agent and consultant, or
doesn't everybody? Haven't you? Yeah. Hey, Brad, before I talk about that, one thing, I'm real disappointed in you.
Oh,
you really let me down.
What?
You come to Passion and everybody up front is so decked out. They look so cool, so sharp. You invite me to come up here. And I expect before this, we're going to be back in wardrobe. You're going to trick me out with cut blue jeans, an edgy shirt, some Passion Band approved hair product.
You're giving
and
us
here, here I am looking like Bill Williams.
You're giving us more credibility as a church in that sport coat. So just stay in your lane, Bobby.
Okay.
Stay in your lane.
I loved Louis' message, the series, because it's so connected with my life experience and what I've seen happen with friends and associates. I think it can be misleading. A lot of people assume that we can find our purpose or our passion, what we really are gifted to do, easily. And the reality is, as he talked about costly consistency, it is a journey and frequently a long journey. One of the illustrations I've used is to golf. And some people assume that finding what you're called to do is like stepping up on the tee on a par three and just hitting it up on the green and into the hole and you found it. The reality is that's not the experience for virtually all of us or most of us. It's more like a par five. We got a bunch of hits. As a matter of fact, we may hit it in the woods, have to pull it out, take a penalty stroke to start again. But we figure out the kind of direction we want to go in. The object is to work as hard as we can and hit it as straight and as long as we can. And then we get up to that next shot, we reassess. And we may have to make a change in what we're looking at doing or changing jobs. But we can do that. And that has been my experience. When I graduated from college, I majored in engineering. I decided I didn't want to be an engineer. I wanted to get into business, narrow the focus, small business, narrow the focus. Ended up getting into the insurance business and sales. Felt like my call was not sales, but management. I made a shift. I took another shot and moved in management. I started working with a consultant out of Chicago. I was fascinated with what he did. I made another shift. I took another shot. It got me closer to my passion by getting into consulting. But I was in Chicago, wasn't quite where I needed to be, made another shift, moved back with that job to Atlanta, and wasn't quite fully there, ended up with the firm I was with. We were believers in the group in Chicago. We're going in a different direction. Had another shot and changed and redirected. We split the company and began operating as Reagan Consulting. It's a journey.
Yeah.
And it's one we need to commit ourselves to. We need to look for the strength of the Lord to give us the ability to do what we're doing.
It's great.
To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to seek to honor Him in what we're doing. But it's a journey. It's
awesome.
A journey.
Well, I love that because you really do embody costly consistency. And I think it's important for all of us to recognize that God is in heaven. and we're on earth. He's in charge and we're not. He knows better than we do. And so he's going to open doors along the way and he's going to close doors along the way. And I think all of us, if we look back and go, oh, I wasn't in charge of my life, but actually God was leading me. What he's given me the calling to do is stay consistent on being a child of God and letting him lead us to the moments and the opportunities he has for us. And speaking of incredible opportunities, I mentioned Donnell earlier, but him and his wife just got a job at CDC. So that's a really impressive and exciting. You married out of your league, Donnell. But
marry up, man.
Marry up. It's a good thing. I did too, for sure. But you went to UVA, Wahoo.
And go practice
it. Now you have an incredible opportunity. You got called by the mayor of Charlottesville. So here you are living in Atlanta, but your town you went to school in and served in ministry is now calling you as an urban community developer to be an expert to help them through a moment of crisis. How did you get that opportunity and that shot to be, you know, helping Charlottesville through all of this?
Yeah, I think Bobby is spot on with how that came about. For us, it was rooting ourselves in place, being consistent far away from Charlottesville and the University of Virginia, in Atlanta, Georgia, placing ourselves in intentionally, geographically, where we live, where we worship, and then rooting ourselves deep in that place, that long obedience in the same direction.
Yep.
In the moment of tragedy, that commitment for us here created influence, right? And then that influence spoke back to Charlottesville, where we were from, and it created a moment for them to call upon me to help them strategize and think about how do we really persevere through this hard moment. There was a deep point of connectivity for a family member for me who was involved in Charlottesville in that incident. So that had a piece of the desire for them to call, but really what was monumental was to hear mayor and city officials and university leaders say, we trust you.
Wow.
Because of what we see you living out in Atlanta. And the integrity that you're walking alongside neighbor that you know and that you don't know. That you're connecting and nurturing those relationships in a way that causes people to trust you deeply. So it says to us in Charlottesville, we should trust you deeply here too.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so important, right? How we treat people along the way. I mean, MC or David, I mean, anybody talk, y'all just cut each other off. But if we want to live with a greater purpose in the spheres and the places that we walk, I mean, the way we treat people is fundamental.
Well, I think everybody wants to be noticed, right? Everybody wants to be called by name.
Yep.
Everybody wants to be looked in the eye. And when you do that with consistency at your workplace, at your school, I think that gives you now roots and a platform. So now we can take that a step further. You know, there's no reason, somebody you see every day, whether it's like at work, I see the security guard or a custodian or an editor, there's somebody that's behind the scenes that I shouldn't talk to them, right? You're going to have a connection with somebody about something, and then you can start talking about your faith. I can do that. Yeah. Now, at some point, you got to cross the bridge, right? And that's the tough part, but you've got to develop that relationship first.
Yeah, it's awesome. Incredible. MC, you have like the coolest job in the world. So photographer, you've gotten to like shoot some most amazing things starting at Passion, like first one of the Passion 2010.
That was 19. Stuck right in there.
Being the like sending out the photos around the world of what God was doing at conference. But then you've gotten a bunch of more opportunities. I think we got a few photos of people you've shot. Who's that for everybody that doesn't know, including myself?
I forgot.
21 pilots. Apparently that photo meant so much to you, MC. I'll tell you who that is. That's John Mayer. Yeah. You might have heard of him. That's MC shot. That's Lauren Daigle. Come on, taking over the world. Yeah. MC saw J-Lo. Whoa, J-Lo in the house. You took that photo?
I did. Hey,
who is that right
Lil
there?
Lil Yachty. Yeah. He's a hometown.
Bobby's favorite musician and artist.
Yeah.
This is a really proud moment as a friend of MC's, the fact that she took the photo of Lecrae and there Jimmy Fallon is holding MC's photo in front of the world. And I think there's another couple, one or two.
Taya
from United. Hillsong United. Let's keep going. Passion.
It was this year.
It was this year, Passion 2019. And that guy. So. How was that, getting to take that photo right there?
Intimidating, but an honor.
Yeah. Having to figure out the glare and all that stuff. But don't laugh too hard on that, people. You've got this opportunity in the faith, you know, industry. And, I mean, J-Lo, John Mayer, 21 Pilots. Like, one, how did you get such a great job? And how are you able to live with purpose, both in the you know, scene here at Passion City Church, but also out in the world, you know, and culture?
I think it came from, I know it came from, just showing up wherever I could. My opportunities with getting to shoot 2010 came from just showing up, and I got one day on the parking team before they shifted me off to a less logistical area of the church.
You are a creative, so yes, maybe parking team and logistics.
But just serving on the touch team and happened to get connected with Leighton Ching, who then gave me the opportunity to shoot conference. But I kind of had started shooting different bands, getting bigger opportunities right as I moved to Atlanta, and at the same time was getting plugged in with the church. And I think being rooted here, being surrounded by people who were striving for excellence, who were pushing me towards God and always saying, like, cheering me on, but also reminding me who I am. And I think... practically, it's like just showing up and doing what you can with what you have. It doesn't matter if it's the best stuff. It was just kind of like, you want me to do what? Okay, I'm there. I can shoot with a disposable camera over here or whatever it was. And I think, though, the biggest thing was for me in high school just getting to a place where I didn't care what it was. I just needed to know that I knew the voice of God so that I could take the first step and the next step and the next step. And what that led to was something that I could never have planned. Like, I thought getting a degree and working at a record label would be the greatest thing for me to maybe one day shoot photos. And God kind of bypassed all of that. And a girl from Beaumont, Texas with zero connections and knew nobody ended up in Atlanta shooting for big bands. So people were like, oh, you're a professional, just come over here and shoot this and that. And the whole time I was just kind of like, oh my God, okay. They're going to find out I'm not a professional. But 10 years later, they're still hiring me, so we're okay.
That's awesome. Come on. But now when you show up and you take pictures of all the people, how do you live out your faith in that world, especially in maybe darker corners of the culture?
It's part consistency, it's seeing people, it's all the things that we talk about here all the time. Like, it's these little moments that deposit, like, greater things. And it's not, I don't feel like it's anything grand. It's looking somebody in the eye. It's not using them for their platform, but seeing them as a person and asking how they are. And right. Those little moments tend to lead to conversations or open doors that, like, on my own could never open. So
that's awesome.
I can actually speak to that because okay. I got to work with MC recently, and she was doing some photography and I was a part of the project, and we had an awesome conversation. We had never met before. I didn't know who you were, and I felt seen by you. Just to give you some encouragement, because we were talking earlier, a lot of times people in front of the camera can feel like a means to an end for some company or whatever they're promoting or whatever. But the fact that you take time to ask human dignifying questions is huge. Like, obviously I was touched by it. So I want to encourage
awesome.
You
Thanks.
That keep doing that. It's,
very,
it's
very
amazing.
Cool. Very cool. David, a couple more questions for you.
Yeah.
First, we can't go any further without asking about the snow day.
Like, I didn't see your snowman. Did you
build
one?
Yeah, what?
David, that's called fake weather.
No.
Shame on you.
So here's the story. People hear what they want to hear, right?
Yeah.
And I've accused of, and many times, of having stock in Publix and Kroger to have a snow day. I'm still trying to figure out, what do you people do with bread and milk? It must be like a French toast party everywhere you go. I don't get it. I've been doing this a long time.
Okay, so. I'm kidding about that, but talk, because you've made it to the top of your profession, and you're very successful, and we're really, really, really grateful for you, but it also has taken time, and as a talk from a few weeks ago that was just so powerful from Louis about taking the stairs, and it's never an elevator to the top, but there's always stairs involved. What have the stairs looked like in your life?
Well, the stairs have been there. As I mentioned earlier, I think that with that talk, there's also the stairs and there's a landing. You're going to go up the stairs for a while and then have a time where you feel like you're just kind of just going through it, right? You get caught up in life. You're going through the motions. I wanted to do this since I was 10 years old, being a messenger, telling people information they needed to know. I live by my promise is the best is yet to come. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived things that God has prepared for those who love him. So I land on that. That's me. I know that he has a plan for me, right? But the timing of it is what we struggle with. So, yeah, I just didn't come to Atlanta right away. I worked in small markets, Albany, Macon, Columbus, came to Atlanta. I got a great break. I was at the ABC affiliate for 26 years, and 17 of those years I worked on the weekends. Every Saturday and Sunday, I'm working. Every Saturday and Sunday. My wife, Lynn, has to take the girls to church. She gets them up, goes to church. What kind of dad doesn't go to church with his family, right? Mm-hmm. But I knew, I said, Lord, you've got me here for a reason. I'm going to trust you in this, and that things are going to be bigger and better down the road.
Yeah.
And so you've got... But then when you have that trust... The trust also, the two is you also got to take a risk. And my risk was I was the number two guy and was not going to get a shot at being the guy. You know, it's kind of like in football. I was a backup quarterback. I wanted to be a quarterback. I wanted to be the guy on the field. But to get that shot, I would have to take a risk. And I set out for, I had a non-compete in my contract, and I set out for 6 months. And that's 6 months with no income. You know, and what 50-year-old guy does that with a family, right? But I was trusting that something was going to happen. I just knew it, and it worked out. Yeah. And so that's part of my story.
Yeah.
You know, but talking about the stairs, so yeah, you have to go. You've got the stairs of, you know, perseverance, and you've got the stairs that you've got to do trial and error. And you got, I mean, it was such a beautiful picture of being on the stairs, but you need that landing spot, but you got to get off the landing spot.
It's great. Really, really good. Has there been setbacks in y'all's story? Like, as you've got to the point where God has you right now, I don't think any of us can identify with setbacks, because maybe just y'all, but...
No failures.
No failures at all. Okay, great.
All we do is win.
All we...
No matter what.
Okay, somebody tell
a
setback.
When I was in high school, it was such a pivotal moment for me, because as I was trying to figure out, like, what does God have for me, and inviting him into this process, because the first time I'd ever really been challenged to do that, my dream of my desk job was right in front of me, and I had a school and I had a plan and I was going to do it. And I got word back that I didn't get into the school, which in high school, if there's any high school seniors and y'all are going through that process, it can be tough. And so then all your friends are like, got this letter and I'm going to the dream school. And you're like, I'm still waiting on mine. It's going to come, I'm sure. And then, so figure out I haven't gotten into the school. It's kind of disappointing for my parents, disappointing for the people around me, and then I'm making a decision to stay in my hometown, which again, my parents were like, okay, that's fine, I guess, and they're kind of embarrassed about it. And that whole year, even though it felt like backwards progress, God was just prepping me and preparing me and getting me ready, because a year and a half later, when I landed in Atlanta, I'd started shooting bands that were way out of my league, and it was a totally new environment. And had I not had the time alone with God, the time to refine me, the time to define myself and who he said I was, I would have gotten into that arena and crashed and burned. I would have just been thrown to the wolves and gone with it. So it was a real, it was a hard time because it looked like it was producing no fruit. But then when I came back around and I got to talk to my parents about it, and they were like, we had no idea what you were doing, and they weren't really checking with the whole Jesus thing. And so when I told them, I was like, I'm trying to follow God. They're like, that's sweet, honey. But then for them to see it, like, oh, we get it. Like, you were doing what you felt God called you to do, and he showed up big right. time. So
yeah, it's cool. It's awesome, MC. Incredible.
There's this time and season for us where you're transitioning from Charlottesville to Atlanta. And for me, out of being a college pastor at the University of Virginia, they have bought this great opportunity to be the first African-American college pastor in the history of the university there. And to lead multi-ethnic ministry in a way that hadn't been done before. And then we came to Atlanta, and it felt like we went back into obscurity. And then as I felt called to make this career shift into community development and planning, that felt even more like a step further into obscurity, coming to a huge church like this. There were all these moments that felt like, wow, these are steps back, right? But in this idea of being rooted in place, we committed to that at the admonishment of parents and mentors from afar. And in doing so, we had to say yes to some stuff that felt like even more of a step back, right? So for me, this moment of obedience, commitment to that obedience, man, it wrestled. I wrestled with it hard, in secret place, openly. But the end result was that pushing myself to do so curated in me a heart of commitment to purpose, and it started to birth passion in me in ways in which I had not ever experienced or discovered before, right? Wow. Some of that was on the streets of our neighborhood picking up trash in the morning before heading to a meeting at the city, right? Or talking with Miss Ann, who's homeless, right? And everyone else is not acknowledging her, right? Or our friends who are non-believers, or this moment where there was this divide between ethnic groups, right? And people weren't trying to figure out how to get past it. And I had to sit in the tension of that, right? And not say anything, but just sit in it, right? And be a listening ear to other. Those moments, in hindsight, always 2020, right?
Yep.
They created this beautiful part of my DNA, the ethos of who I would become, that I wasn't even expecting then, right?
That's great.
So the small things,
yeah,
right?
Awesome.
You can't despise them, right? Because they're working this greater good inside of you that when a Charlottesville will call, I was ready to speak into it in a way in which I wasn't prior to that.
That's awesome. That
makes sense?
Very, very good. A couple things as our time kind of winds down. All of y'all have achieved some measure of success, but that's also challenging as well. And so maybe a few of you could talk about just how you have managed success and where you're at right now.
Well, I don't have any shoes of scripture on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's awesome. You know, Maya, and I think the great point that you made earlier today is that so Maya, you're with Nike, and they want to do this shoe, and you want to put scripture on it, Colossians, right?
Yeah. Did they give you any pushback for that? Like when you told Michael that you wanted to put the scripture verse on there?
This is very anticlimactic. No,
they did not. They just. Are you kidding me? That blows my mind that they did have to have like big meetings and conversations and people signing off on it.
You know, I think it's a couple of things. One is, as I've navigated this sport and entertainment industry, the Jordan brand, I felt convicted to do the best that I could to be authentic. And God is he's a God of truth. And he, as his children, he wants us to be authentic. That's a part of being truthful. And so when I get opportunities to be real with people, I tell them, like, this is the most important thing about me, and this is awesome. Where I'm coming from. And so when I put it on the shoe, people are like, yeah, that makes sense, because this is who you've been.
It
just felt natural. And then in the meantime, it's shocking at the same time, because you don't necessarily see the Lord so explicitly honored in our pop culture and kind of those scenarios. So I wasn't expecting it either. I was like, oh, they didn't say anything. Okay, this is great. Hallelujah. And it's just been such a blessing to people. Yeah. I think it's hopefully liberating and freeing people up to just to be bold about who you are if you are a child of God, because it's really encouraging and powerful.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right. You know, we seek success in whatever it is we're doing, which is fine. I think we have to recognize there's danger in it. It can lead to pride. It can lead to self-sufficiency. It can lead to materialism. And I think there are things that all of us need to look to do to stay grounded. Being plugged in and planted in a body of believers, a church, is certainly critical to worship, to hear the word of God, to serve. We all need to as well seek to live out our personal relationship with the Lord. For me, every morning, getting down on my knees and reading scripture and praying is critical. For me, being bonded with other believers, whether it's a Bible study or what Pastor would now call a fight club. There are two guys that I've met with for over 20 years. Every Friday morning, Sunday morning, we'll get together for an hour and a half, and we'll share life, and we'll challenge each other, and we'll pray for each other. And when we are struggling, we'll call each other.
That's awesome.
I encourage anybody to seek that out. I think having a spouse that walks with you, that'll encourage you, that's not all that impressed with any headlines that you get, knows you as you are, I think that is a growing process as well. But the materialism, if there is success, if materialism, if financial rewards come, having a generous spirit, being more excited about giving away than accumulating.
It's awesome.
And so I think all those things are critical for all of us to do.
Yeah, amazing. Everybody's wanting to clap on everything.
That's right. It's,
we don't have a ton of time left, but I want to commend all of you, because, you know, I'm here every Sunday, and so are you. Like, MC gets to shoot, you know, 21 Pilots or John Mayer, but she's like, the photography team calls and she's here, you know, shooting on a Sunday or at Passion. And same is true of all of you. You know, David is really awesome. He came, did the 6 o'clock news on Friday night, then showed up at night to shine in like full makeup and went right back to give the news at 10 o'clock. And
I missed hair and makeup earlier. Where was that?
They came spent out? Too much time on
Yeah,
Brad.
Too much
hey,
on
easy,
him.
Easy.
Yeah.
Okay, MC, just take the rest of the interview, okay?
You set yourself up for that one, Brad.
I did. But even, I mean, David, if you follow him on Instagram, he'll talk about Georgia football forecast, but then every once in a while he'll, you know, put out a forecast for Passion City's Good Friday gathering or Passion Conference. I mean, surely you get some pushback on that. Or...
Well, it goes back to being consistent, and people know, especially management, where I stand, and you can use that as a platform. You know, every forecast that I put out isn't going to be, you know, here's the weather for today, hashtag Jesus weather, right? I mean, that's he's in charge of the weather.
That's
I get
the point
it.
Of the series. Unless your name is Maya Moore, you can't do it.
Yeah, and so that makes you real to people, but then it also, you know, I'm going to take a stand, you know, and I'm going to do a forecast for Good Friday. I'm going to do a forecast for Easter. And we're going to talk about Christmas, and we're going to talk about things that are important to us, as well as other events with the Passion Conference,
yeah.
Right? But it's not all about that.
Right.
It's just woven in, and when it's woven in, it becomes the fabric of life.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's the last thing I want to talk about. How is it working for you when you actually do want to be a witness and you want to go public and talk about, like, is there... Do you just hope people see your excellence and see, you know, how good you are at that and that you're distinct? Or are there moments you get to talk one-on-one to people about faith in Jesus?
Brad, I came to faith through the ministry of Young Life and was a volunteer leader for 15 years. And there's a concept in Young Life ministry of earning the right to be heard. All of us in our relationships with teammates or clients, we build credibility. We serve them. We develop relationships. We build bridges. And at some point, we've got to be willing to go across those bridges for their sake, to let them hear the greatest news that they could possibly hear. And it's amazing how timid I can be. I wish I was untimid. How timid I can be sometimes of not wanting to offend or whatever. But you know, if it's something that we do because we care about people, if it's something that we're whimsical about it, we do it because we care about them, you know, we need to be bold. And so I think the willingness of all of us through those bridges that are built, to cross those bridges, to share our faith, to be willing to say, I want to pray for you, to walk with them, just to go be with them in times they're struggling, to share a book with them, to bring them to a gathering. We all need to cross those bridges, and it's certainly not something that I've mastered. All of us in our firm are believers, and we challenge each other to do that and want to continue challenging each other to do it, because why build these bridges if we're not going to bring the greatest news they could possibly hear?
Yeah.
If I'm committed to their well-being, let me be committed to
that
their well-being.
Awesome, Bobby. Come on now.
I would say that, you know, with the bridge building, which is, I love when Bobby talks about it because it's such a, for Dr. Evie and I, such a core part of who we are. But even more to add to that, what I'd say, remember that God is at work already in the world, right? Sometimes for me, for us as a family, as a church, in the church, we thought we were going to be taking God into the world as if he wasn't already. Right? That it's void and null and void of him, right? When we realized that he was already about the good work in the world, in this church was sending us to partner with him in that good work, it radically shifted the conversations, even how we approached the conversation, the timidity that might actually be there started to be removed because I started to see those people, right, bearing his image, but then also, and I felt at ease, more at ease, to just enter into what God was already doing in the lives of those people.
Yeah, very, very good. I think that's the beauty of the church, right? Is that we're not all called to be preachers and pastors and work at the church full time. That's what Pastor Louis has been talking about. But we've all been gifted. We've all been assigned. We've all been wired up differently. And we've been put in different places, you know, like none of us can get into the Lynx locker room and start sharing faith in Jesus.
No.
Yeah. But you have those opportunities it's spheres of influence that we all get to hold. And it's just, how are we going to operate once we're standing in those spheres? And lastly, Maya, I would just ask you, news broke on ESPN.com this week, Players Tribune, a letter from yourself that just said you're actually going to take a break from basketball. And where's the tension in that? Because you're at the top and you got a huge platform, but you also realize maybe this year is not the time to play.
Yeah, it was a long process of just wrestling with things over the years. But like you, Donnell, was mentioning earlier about being obedient and following where the Lord's leading, and understanding, my whole identity is not being a basketball player, but then actually taking a year to really live that is a whole nother story. But it rocked me more than I thought it would. But being a few days out now from it going public, I'm feeling the wind back in my sails of just continuing to follow where the Lord's leading. And to hear how many people have been encouraged, because in our culture, if you if you walk away from influence per se, it's almost like taboo. Like, what are you doing? But God is, he is the definition of influence. And wherever he sends you, he's going to give you whatever you need to do whatever job he's calling you to fill.
Yeah.
And so there is a level of risk and trust that you have to have in the Lord. And you have to have it because you can't fake that. When you're following the Lord in obedience, you can't fake that. That's out of a real relationship with the Lord. And so I just stay on my knees, like you were talking about, every day in that personal relationship with God, so that you have that courage to follow him when he's calling you to go where he's leading, and understanding first and foremost our purpose and our passion and our priorities are the people around us, our family, you know, being connected with church and loving those who you are around. And so I'm excited for this season of life to be able to be around. And I'm not overseas right now. I'm here at home.
That's awesome.
I really enjoy the fruit of the obedience already.
So. Yeah, that's really incredible. Can you all help me thank all these people? Amazing. I love it. Maya said it so well, but that really is the heartbeat. It's whatever you do. So if you want to be in this lane or that lane, God's given us freedom and he's releasing us in that, like Pastor Lou was talking about, but just do it with a greater purpose that will last forever. And I just think today, I hope and pray it was so helpful for you that there is people that you can identify with and that you could be inspired by, because the way all of these people are operating in this world is to be commended in the way that they're carrying the name of Jesus to all the different parts of this city and this world is really, really phenomenal. I just want to say on behalf of our church, our team, that we're just so proud of you and so grateful for you that you really do embody what the scripture teaches, what Jesus talked about, that we are the light of the world. And we're just all of us in this moment, yes, wanting to be a church that shines brightly in the world, but specifically praying God's favor on each of you, that you will continue to be a light that shines brightly for the glory of God, and whatever may come your way, that you would continue to be blown away. And that's a prayer for all of us. God has something for you today. God has something for you this week. Maybe it's a conversation, an opportunity to go across a bridge and have that moment, like, let me tell you about who's most important in my life, who's changed me. Maybe it's just a recommitment to working hard into excellence and being, maybe it's just, I need to be distinct. I have been blending in with the culture, but it's time for me to stand up and shine. But there is an opportunity for all of us this week to be a part of the plans and purposes of God. And that's the beauty of the church. We're not all stuck in a building or in a high school auditorium right now, but we're getting sent out every week we gather, but every week we scatter. And we scatter with one name, and that name is Jesus. So we're gonna pray together and we're gonna lean in, because we don't want this just to be another talk or another series. We want to be marked by this forever. And so across both Cumberland and at 515, I'm going to give you a moment to pray. And I want you to deal with God right now and ask him to seal in your heart and life all that he's been stirring, that we could all shine brightly for his glory. Let's pray together across both locations.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.
Hey there, my name is Jason Diba, and if you're a fan of the Passion City Church podcast, which is what you just listened to, then you should check out the Passion Podcast.
There were protocols apparently you were meant to follow at that moment, but
there was a contingent of people who thought the old meat tastes better than the new meat.
In your life, it was as if someone set my hair on fire.
One of those people
would be David Crowder.
And that was the last time I led in a wrestling ring.
Okay, let's see if we can make it happen.
Up-close interviews with Louis Giglio, Christian Stanfill, artists, speakers, culture makers, and more.
Relationships are more like sailing a ship than building a desk from IKEA.
It's not just our freedom that's at stake. It's God's glory that's at stake. Surrender is the path to greatness in the kingdom of God.
We do the outrageous things because we believe there's an extraordinary gospel.
The college generation singing at the top of their lungs to Jesus.
And that's why Goliath must fall.
Go ahead and search and subscribe now to an all-new season of the Passion Podcast.